you've given us a heart, given us a home with you. Yeah.
You're listening to your good news station, WCNO Palm City.
That this God actually cares because he knows what it's like. And here he is in the, he knows what it's like to suffer loss. Even as we mentioned, just a few days before Palm Sunday, he raises Lazarus from the dead. What's the shortest verse in the Bible?
Yeah, two words. I say that it's a verse that we could all meditate on to become better representations of Jesus. Jesus wept. And I think that it's the heart of God, is that wherever you are today or whatever you're going through, Jesus is with you. Not only is he with you, but he's a comforting God.
He gets you.
Yeah.
Jesus gets us. You know, the original Greek of the word Jesus wept carries a little bit of a connotation about those weeping. It was more of a snarl. It was like an angry tear. When Jesus saw his friend dead, he knows what he's about to do. He's going to, Lazarus, get out, right? But his cry was like, I didn't intend for my creation to die, to be separated from me. This was not the plan, the desire that Adam and Eve should fall. And yet, given the choice and our will, we tend to choose our will and not his. And yet in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus says, no, I'm gonna redeem what was lost. Not my will, but your will be done. It's the new and second better Adam, right?
Yes.
That's what we're seeing in the Garden of Gethsemane. And so you get to this point then where he's about to be arrested, you know, and Peter wants to stop his arrest, right? And of course, Peter says, you know, no, they need to take me. He cuts the man's ear off. Jesus actually heals his ear. Moments before this point, Jesus has a conversation with Peter saying, on this rock, I'll build my church. And like four verses later, he says, get behind me, Satan. I always find that very funny. Because he wants to stop the crucifixion and the arrest. And this is clearly after the Passover meal that we're having. But, you know, then at this point, you know, he's going to be taken up to Pontius Pilate. Jesus knew that he was going to have this grievous separation from his father, and he knew that this was to come. So maybe I should backtrack, as though it was following the Passover meal. But, you know, as everyone was coming to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover meal, maybe you've been in a church before and they've had like communion. Have you ever experienced that, right? People listening, our communion, is actually rather unique because it's a reflection of the Passover meal. The Christian communion is to be a representation of the Passover meal that's had every year, and clearly what Jesus had with his disciples. Do you recall what he said about the cup and the bread?
Well, I know that as we as Christians take communion and we taken the body of Jesus as the bread is the symbol of him giving his body, and the blood, the new
covenant.
This
is my body broken for you. This is my blood, my blood spilled out for you. Yeah. Eat this, drink this in remembrance of me, right? Yeah. Have you ever had a Passover meal? I have not had a Passover meal with anybody until 3 years ago.
Yeah, I've had a number of them over my lifespan. My wife was very much raised in a Jewish neighborhood and became very familiar with the ways of the Jews. And so when she became a believer in Jesus, it wasn't an unusual thing for her to see all the ways the Jews do what they do and how it's a foreshadowing of our own Messiah, Jesus, the Jewish Messiah, really. And Passover was a beautiful way that the Jews at the time were also, acknowledging a sacrifice, right?
They were acknowledging the pain, the tears, the suffering, and deliverance, right?
Yeah, deliverance. Like the symbol of our deliverance from sin was the Jews' deliverance from Egypt and the bondage of that hard time of being under a really oppressive rule, mm-hmm. and how Jesus came to deliver
That's
us.
That's why you dipped the vegetables in the salted water.
Yes.
And then you eat it and you remember the tears. But if you've been at a Jewish Seder, Jewish Passover, you got this long extended table, you got everyone wrapped around it. And I know it's so funny. You eat this kind of like very sparse meal, like there's nothing on the plate. And then they have the real meal afterwards, right? You know, it's a great party.
Right, it is.
But you'll notice that at your plate, there are four cups of wine. Or it's one cup of wine you lift up four times. There should be four. On the night that Jesus was betrayed and he had a Passover meal with his disciples, when he lifted up the cup and said, "This is my body broken for you, and this is my blood poured out for you for the remissions of sin," during the Seder meal, you take little pauses where you drink from the wine cup, and there's four. Do you know which cup Jesus was probably picking up when he said, "This is my body, this is my blood"? He picked up the third cup. So they've already done one. And then they ate some vegetables, too, and then they ate something else. And then the third one is the last cup that you have that night with everybody. And do you know what the tradition and what you're not supposed to do? You're not supposed to drink from the fourth cup. Do you know why the Jews don't drink from the fourth cup?
No, I don't.
Based in the Talmud and other writings, but also from Scripture, the fourth cup is the cup of wine, the celebration cup, really, when you will be with the Lord, new heavens, new earth. Think about the great wedding day, Revelation 21. The fourth cup is when we're finally with God in heaven forever. So you don't drink from the fourth cup. The next time you drink from that, you'll be in Jerusalem. The Jews say in Jerusalem next year, when the Messiah comes. But we know the Messiah has come. And one day in heaven, we'll be back together, and that fourth cup we'll have together in the heavenly wedding.
And that's kind of the celebration of Easter, where we recognize that Christ died, rose again, and we will be with him in glory one
day.
And so we're almost to Easter, it seems. We're at Good Friday. We're at the Passover. We're at the betrayal. We're at the culmination of everything happening here in a very short time.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
You know, and it's such a critical holiday. You know, I can share with a lot of people, you know, I know what it's like to just do Christmas and Easter only. And we as believers might say, "Oh boy, here comes the visitors that show up." And at the same time, I'm like, man, I hope all churches everywhere really focus on getting people to really critically think, who is Jesus? Because it matters. And it changes everything. And I'm like, I hope every church takes advantage of this moment to proclaim the gospel, just as they should every Sunday. Because the reality is, every Sunday's Christmas. Every Sunday's Easter, right? Yeah. Every Sunday, we're celebrating the birth, life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. It's just we happen to put higher emphasis during parts of the year. And I think there's a good reason for that, you know? Just as there's four seasons in the year, we celebrate different aspects of the church calendar. But like, I look at Jesus, the Passover, he's lifting up this third cup. He's having it with his disciples. "This is my body. This is my blood." Then he goes to the Garden of Gethsemane. Judas, go do what you're about to do. Sells Jesus for the 20 pieces of silver. Peter tries to stop Jesus from being sacrificed. And yet he's brought before Pontius Pilate. And, you know, again, a critical question is what Pontius Pilate brings up. He says, "What is truth?" You know, we live in a world of truthiness. You know, people say, "Well, what's true for you is not true for me. What's true for me is not true for you." Well, unfortunately, that's not real, nor logical, nor reasonable, nor rational. You know, Christianity is a very reasonable faith. Though we do believe a dead man came back to life, every other part of Scripture is just as reasonable, because God must be all-powerful, all-knowing, omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent everywhere. This is Jesus. Jesus is truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life, John 14. I'll be in that chapter in just three more days, you know? What a unique time that we have to really look at, is the Bible true?
Yeah, I'd like to think, too, that truth is not a set of facts. Truth became a person.
Yeah.
And for all of us as humans, right, we have these issues about being human, what it means to be fully human, fully alive. And Jesus really answered for us so many of our questions that we need to have answered about, why am I here? What is life all about? And I think Easter is a great culmination of what life will eventually be about for us as believers.
Yeah. You know, not only is truth not just a set of facts, but a person, but, you know, the scripture is not just the word of God. The word is also a person. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. Word is Christ, right?
So when you pose the question coming in about why Easter, how would you kind of wrap this up as we do that, how much longer do we have, folks? About 12
minutes.
About how
many?
12 minutes. Oh, good, good. We have time to get into this, to talk about that.
Well, there are...
Want to advance the journey. We were where we were with Jesus and...
Passion Tide Sunday. We made it to Palm Sunday. We have them flipping the tables. We have them... getting the disciples ready to prepare the Passover meal. He has a Seder dinner. He lifts up the third cup and tells, he washes the disciples' feet after the meal, which is unique. Normally in those times, you would wash your guests' feet before the meal when they walk in your house doors to kind of, you know, dust and dirt and people wearing sandals. He washes his disciples' feet after the meal, and this is where we get the term Maundy Thursday. So before Good Friday is another high holy day, Maundy Thursday, M-A-U-N-D-Y. You know where that word comes from?
I don't. I did it one time.
We've all heard it. So if you read, not from the Greek Bible, but if you read it from Latin, Jesus said to his disciples after he washed their feet, he says, "This is a new command that I give to you, right? As I have done for you, you go do for others. As I have served you, you go serve others, right? Because Jesus came not to be served, but to serve. He says, this is a new command that I give to you."
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for the continuation of this interview. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is a new day.
We'd like to thank Plains Dental Arts in Vero Beach and Port St. Lucie for sponsoring It's a New Day. We'd also like to thank Center for Advanced Eye Care, Dr. Mallon, Center for Advanced Eye Care with offices in Fort Pierce and in Vero Beach. Thank you for supporting us.
Redeemer, our Savior, our friend, come. you have made, the mighty oceans, the fiery stars, the fields and forests, give you praise, my Lord, my God.
Minister Ezekiel Jones of Lively Stones Ministry. Join us every Saturday at 7:30 a.m. right here on WCNO 89.9 FM.
These tears would just be tears falling down my face. And this hurt would just be hurt with no healing on the way. Thank you, Jesus. Heaven changes everything. A goodbye would be goodbye with no I'll see you again. And when a life
is over, that will simply be the end. Thank you, Jesus. Heaven changes everything. In the all the times I've fallen, I'd still be there on the ground. Thank you, Jesus.
Are you or a loved one unable to live alone because of medical reasons? Albert's Manor offers accommodations for seniors or persons with disabilities. They provide quality and professional care in a beautiful, safe, and loving environment. You can reach them at 772-626-3500.
Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified. Knowing not it was for me he died at Calvary. By God's word at last my sin I learned. Then I trembled at the law I'd spurned, till my guilty soul imploring turned to Calvary. There your mercy and your grace was free. There your pardon multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. Now I've given Jesus everything. Now I gladly know him as my King. Now my raptured soul can only sing of Calvary, yeah. Yeah. There your mercy and your grace was free. There your pardon multiplied to me. There my burden so found.
Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span. The Calvary, yeah, yeah. There your mercy and your grace was free. There your pardon multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary.
Oh, at Calvary.
There your mercy and your grace was free. There your pardon multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. My burdened soul found liberty at Calvary.
Welcome to Constitutional Conversations. I'm Dr. Brenda McMenamin. Why is it so important to understand the Constitution? Understanding the heritage and history that God gave us enables us to honor and obey Him so He can rescue us and America. Article 1, Section 8, Clauses 11 through 12 say in part, Congress shall have power to declare war, grant letters of marque and reprisal, to make rules concerning captures on land and water, to raise and support armies, but no appropriation of money to that use shall be for a longer term than 2 years. The executive has the responsibility to defend, but not to declare war. This is the responsibility of Congress. Benjamin Franklin said, I believe in my conscience that mankind are wicked enough to continue slaughtering one another as long as they can find money to pay the butchers. All wars are follies, very expensive and very mischievous ones. When will mankind be convinced of this and agree to settle their differences by arbitration? Were they to do it, even by the cast of a die, it would be better than by fighting and destroying each other. In my opinion, there was never a good war or a bad peace. America's Navy began as privateers. American businessmen were empowered and regulated by Congress to fit out their privately owned ships and were granted letters of marque and reprisal to, in defense, seize and destroy British vessels without being treated as common pirates. Until then, many Americans were forced into the British Navy. Congress was empowered by the Constitution to raise money to defend ourselves as a nation. Not wanting a standing army, states had militias. Congress had the authority to call them up and to regulate them. The Congress had the authority to raise money in support of our defense, and it was always expected to be paid back within their 2-year term. It was incumbent upon Americans to pay attention as to how our money was being spent. Never should a congressman be reelected if there was an outstanding debt. We the people would never vote in such scoundrels. Or would we? Father God, anoint us to walk in the fear of God, to steward our liberties and the next generation's wealth wisely. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Listen every Saturday at 8:30 a.m. to WCNO as we learn more about our Constitution and how this God-inspired document brings life and liberty to our nation and hope to the world. More information and learning opportunities are available at my website, teachinghisstory.com.
It's the cross he took my place, so my sins he could erase. He forgives and forgets. I stand before him holy. He canceled my debt. That day at Calvary, now I'm justified, just as if I never sinned as yet. He not only forgives, he forgives.
Washed away. This is Dr. Gerard Curry of Tradition Worship Center in Port St. Lucie. Our program, Extreme Faith, airs on WCNO Monday through Friday at 7:15 a.m. and again at 7:15 p.m. We are a Word and Spirit church, and not only do we believe in miracles, signs, and wonders, we experience them as well. According to Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You can build your faith for your miracle today.
yes, there will be an abundance of flowers and singing.
Elements to being a Christian.
Well, you may not be dead physically, but according to the Word of God, until Jesus Christ comes into your life, you are dead spiritually.
Dr. David Jeremiah gives us insight into basics of the Christian faith. Next time on Turning Point.
Listen to Turning Point at 12:30 p.m. Monday through Friday on the Good News Station WCNO.
So you're pregnant, and suddenly your whole life changed. You want to be joyful, but you're also afraid and anxious. How do you deal with this? Where do you go for help? CareNet Pregnancy Services of the Treasure Coast is here for you. We give compassionate counsel, helpful education and referrals so that you can make the best decision. There is no charge for our confidential services, and we will ensure that you enjoy security and strong support from the CareNet family. Reach out to us today at 772-828-3168.
The cross has the final word. The cross has the final word. Sorrow may come in the darkest night, but the cross has the final word. There's nothing stronger, nothing higher. Thank you.
show his love for all to see. I will worship, I will honor, I will exalt the Lord above. All my days I'll sing the praises of his great redeeming love. In my heart there is a treason, one that poisons all my love. Take my heart and consecrate.